Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see Milton and Corrine back. We've missed you guys. And Sheridan, good to see you too. You're welcome. It is good though to be in God's house, and so thankful every Sunday that I get to get up out of bed and get to come fellowship with my church family. What a true, true blessing it is. And speaking of this, today's sermon is the day of the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 13. And I'd like to ask those that are able to stand to please do as I read from God's Word. 2 Peter 3, 10 through 13. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly thankful for the reading of Your Word. And Lord, let us all be with expectant heart that coming of Jesus. And we are so thankful, Lord God, that the day is coming, that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will dwell with You for all of eternity, and we will get to experience Your glory each and every day. Father, I don't even think we're going to even know time. But Lord, we just pray that You would prepare our hearts each and every day to live according to Your Word. And Father, now as I preach this message, let every word come from You through Your Holy Spirit. And don't let me speak anything, Father, that should not be said. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we certainly know that the certainty of Christ's return, it should motivate every believer to pursue holy living while anticipating God's eternal kingdom. Out of everything I could ever think of, there's nothing that I look forward to more than the coming of Jesus. Now, let me kind of interject something here real quick. Now, there's going to be a rapture of the church, and then the coming of the Lord Jesus. Now, let me just kind of hit on the rapture for a moment. That the Bible does say that in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ, Jesus will come, but He will appear in the sky. He's not coming back to the earth at that time. The trumpet will sound. The Bible says that the dead in Christ, they will be raised. They will, and then those of us that are remaining will be quickly changed and caught up to meet them, the Bible says, in the air. And we will be with Jesus until that day. Now, what I'm talking about here, when Jesus is coming back, this is when Jesus sets His foot back on the Mount of Olives. Now, you know when Jesus ascended into heaven, He ascended from the Mount of Olives. And you remember the disciples, what they were doing. They were looking up, and they were watching Him go, and they were spoken to from heaven and said, the same Jesus that you see Him going, He will come back in like manner. So Jesus is coming one day. Now, I remember as a child anticipating a lot of things that made me excited. Now, my favorite thing as a child was Christmas and my birthday. Well, because I knew I was going to get presents. I knew that Grandma and Grandpa would always spoil my sister and my brother and I. And they were going to give us presents. And I mean, I would literally start the first part of the new year after my birthday making out a very exuberant Christmas list. My Christmas list would you could put it on a scroll and it would go for 3 miles probably. But my heart was filled with this anticipation that, well, as a kid, you know, I was told Santa Claus is coming and he's going to bring all kinds of neat things and Christmas and, oh, I just love the snow. Now that's a different factor. As I've gotten older, I don't care for the snow as much as I did, but hey. But anyway, I anticipated the coming of Christmas, and I remember on Christmas Eve, I could hardly go to sleep at night. I would be squirming in the bed because I know that the next morning when I got up, we'd all be in the living room opening up presents and playing with all the new stuff that we got, and our hearts were so full of joy. And even greater than that, we have Jesus who is coming back again. And Jesus is going to set his foot upon this earth, and Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and we will come back with him as he rules and reigns on this earth. But there are a lot of people today who say, well, we've been hearing about this for so many years. I've listened to preachers from 1950 and 1960. I listened to my grandpa's sermons on cassette tape. And my grandpa talked and preached about the coming of Jesus. And people today are going, we're so sick of hearing about it. When's he coming? Because people have reached a point in this day and age where they're getting weary, they're getting wore down and tired, and they're looking for the Savior that's been promised. Well, I want to kind of hit on that today and let you know that God does keep His promises. The certainty of the day, the Bible said in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. So that means that it is certain, and we can know that God never fails to keep a promise. The Bible says that God cannot lie. So if Jesus is coming back, we know that it is a certain thing. It's inevitable. It will happen. Now, the Bible says we don't know the day or the hour. Only God knows. Jesus doesn't know. The angels of heaven don't know. But as soon as God the Father tells Jesus, it's time for you to go, He will come. And the Bible says that it will happen as a thief in the night. Now, we know that a thief is going to break into a house, right? Thieves plan things. Here's what thieves do. They stake out an area. They get their eye on a specific place. And then you know what they do? They take time and they plan. And they plan this thing and they lie in wait until the perfect time and the perfect opportunity. And then that's when the thief will make his move, and the thief will break into the place that he's been eyeballing. And the Bible says that he will come as a thief in the night because it's unexpected. How many of you, when you go to bed at night, when you lay your head on your pillow, how many of you pray and ask God to protect your home? Anybody? Yeah. I tell you what, I remember one night we went to bed, went to sleep. I got up the next morning, and I mean just right down the road from us, there was a man who had been walking on the highway with a high-powered gun, and he carjacked somebody just not far from our house. And I thought, wow, you know, it hit so close to home. But we don't know, we never know when things are going to happen, but we know that Jesus is coming. Like the thief, its timing will surprise those who are unprepared. And see, that's what happens. A lot of homeowners think, well, you know what? I ain't nothing ever going to happen to me. I'll just kind of let my house go, leave the... You know, people, when I was growing up out in the country, well, you left your doors unlocked. You could literally leave your doors open at night and you wouldn't have to worry about a thing. But today, people leave their houses unprepared, and that's what the thieves target. That So they wait for the right place and the right time to break in. But Jesus, in the exact same way, he is wanting us to be prepared for his return. And how do we need to be prepared? It's by holy living. The Lord knows our hearts. And do you know why the Lord has tarried so long in coming back? He is trying to give people as much possible time. He doesn't want anybody to perish. And we know that God loves everyone. He doesn't want to see anybody perish, but he wants to see everybody come in repentance. He wants to see people to come to his son Jesus and get saved. So the Lord, I believe, allows all of this time so that as many people can get saved, but also that you and I as Christian people, that we'll get our house in order. Now, I ain't talking about your physical house where you live. I'm talking about this old house that we live in. We need to get ourselves in order so that when Jesus does come, he finds us living a holy and upright life, obeying his commandments and following his word. That's why he gave us the appointed commandment to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here we are, and I'm not really sure what happens to the human race, but somehow we get this mindset that, well, you know what? Jesus didn't come yesterday, and so far he hasn't showed up, so I got all the time in the world. How many of us, I call that pretty ignorant thinking, when we think we have all the time in the world. So what do? People start to build an empire on the face of the earth. So we see people wasting time and money and energy going after the things of the world, and we know that the Bible tells us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven, not on the earth, because as I read to you in Scripture, the time is coming that when Jesus does appear, this earth, it's going to pass away. The old heavens and the old earth, they're going to be destroyed by fire. So that's what I always wonder. Why do we spend so much time trying to build an empire here? Now, I know that God put us here. We have to work the earth. We have to work to make a living. But our priority has to be keeping God first and doing His will first and foremost in our lives. You and I cannot put our business out here in front of doing God's. Because at a time, and how many of you know when you're going to die? Does anybody really know? Nah. So, here's the other thing. A lot of people are waiting for the Lord to return, but we have no idea because we're not guaranteed another second, another minute, another hour, another day. Is your house in order and ready to meet the Lord? Now, I'll tell you this. Now, going back to these earthly houses, when you know you got company coming over, what's the first thing you do? Somebody calls you on the phone. Hey, I'm in town. I'm going to come by and visit with you for a while. And then you look at your house and go, oh, what a mess. Huh. And all of a sudden, you're flying all over the place, getting the house in order because your guest is coming. You don't want your company coming and walking in and looking at your coffee table with 6 inches of dust on it and magazines and newspapers laying everywhere and food wrappers in the floor and dirty dishes piled up in the sink. Nobody wants that. I'll tell you this, if I know somebody's coming to my house, I want my house to look nice because I want them to come visit my house in comfort and I want them to enjoy their time there. But in the same way, I've got to get this house cleaned up and ready because Jesus, he's not just an ordinary guest. He's not just some visitor. He's the Son of God, and He is coming for me, or either that or I'm going to go and be with Him one day. But if I am to be here at the time that the rapture of the church happens, I want to make sure that my house is in order, and I want to make sure that I have a clean life, so when I stand before the Lord, I can hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." Now, I kind of went way off over here. You know what? That's one thing I don't like about it. Now, I do an outline, but I don't follow them half the time. So just, that's okay, though. But we know that the heavens and the earth will pass away, and everything will be exposed before God. Your life, everything you've ever done, you're going to give an account of. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, I thought God forgives us of all of our sins." He does. But you will be rewarded according to your life and what you have done and what you didn't do. And now, I had somebody ask me, I think it was about 3 weeks ago, somebody asked me about what's the rewards going to be like in heaven. Well, I have to give the same answer. I've never been there, and I've never been through that process, so I can't give you an answer. I can't give anybody any answers about what takes place in heaven, but what I can tell you is that you better have yourself ready to get there. Because it can happen, and we know that whether we die or whether Jesus comes, it happens very quickly. And if Jesus was to come right now, if the trumpet sounded, how many of us in this church house right here would go up? And you know who's going up? That's the ones that accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Those who have believed on Him and trusted in Him and have lived their lives and obeyed His commandments, they will be the ones to go up. I'll tell you this, I would sure hate to be in the crowd of people in a church that thought they were going to heaven because they were living by their own righteousness, they were living by their own methods and means, and they missed out on the totality of God's message, and they got left behind. That'd be like wanting to go on one of the... Well, no. This would just be an example. You want to go on a cruise really bad. And you know that this cruise, maybe this is the only kind of cruise that they would ever offer like this at a special discounted price. And you know that you had to buy your ticket. You had to make plans to get on that boat, but you failed to do so, and then you missed the cruise. You know what a lot of people do? They'd hate themselves for missing out. But what I'm saying is if we aren't living for the Lord, if we don't have our hearts right and ready with Jesus, there's going to be a lot of people who miss out on the rapture of the church. And that's why God has put pastors in the pulpit to preach the Word. And I want to present the Word that He lays on my heart every week so that we will hear His Word, that we will be quickened in our hearts, that we will listen promptly, and then we could identify with what's being said, and then we could examine our own life and say, you know what? There are some changes that I have to make. Now, I can tell you this, that the disciples, when they walk with Jesus, they weren't perfect. But you know what they did? They operated in faith. They trusted in the Lord and they lived. Even after Jesus ascended back into heaven, the disciples that were here on the face of the earth, they still lived by faith because they knew what Jesus said was true and they wanted to do the work. And that's what He is expecting us to do as well. Now, the call to holy living. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, verse 11. Prophecy should produce purity. The Bible prophecy, it's meant to change our lives, not to satisfy curiosity. So what you hear from God's Word, when your parents told you to do something, didn't it make you think pretty quick that, hey, maybe I better get myself in gear and I better pay attention to what Mom and Dad says? I remember my mother saying to my sister one time, I'm giving you a warning. You better not step your foot out in that county road or you're going to get yourself swatted. There's going to be punishment for doing the wrong thing. Well, you know what my sister did in what I call human ignorance? My sister went out the front door and I was standing right there by the front porch and there she took off down that front porch toward the county road. And you know what my sister did? She looked back toward the house. Well, Mom ain't looking. You know what she did? She looked back one more time, took her foot, stuck it right out on that county road. And my mother opened up that door and she said, Dawn, you get back in this house right this minute. And I kept telling her, Mom told you no, don't do it. And she didn't listen. How many of us are like that with the Lord? The Lord is calling us to have a pure heart. He's telling us He gave us His Word. He gave us commandments to live by. But how many times do we really take those commandments to heart? How often do we apply them to our life? How many of us, as we're walking along, we act like the Lord's back here, and sometimes we act like He's not going to see us or even hear us. We even often act like He don't know what we're doing. But I want you to know this. God knows everything that you're doing and saying. He even knows the thoughts that are in your heart. And He even knows what you're going to do before you know that you're going to do it. So that right there should produce in us a fear, a fear that respects God and saying, okay, if this is what the Lord is saying in His Word, that I've got to love my neighbor, that I have to share Jesus, that I have to do good to my neighbor because, you know, I have to live, and it doesn't mean the person who lives right next door to you or your neighbor is whoever is within the vicinity of where you're at, that I have to be a person of goodwill. I need to share the gospel with every single person around me. That should be the core of our life, is living by the Word of God. And we know that when we live a godly life, we will stay separate from sin. Whatever fruit you eat of, that's what will grow in your life. So if we chase a life of sin, that's what's going to be produced. But if we chase after righteousness and the things of God, then we will bear what the Bible calls good fruit, and we will be dedicated to the Lord in all things. Our character and conduct will be changed. And we can also demonstrate faith through daily obedience. And I mean being obedient to God. I tell you what, there's been so many times. I know the Lord has forgiven me, but there are sometimes I catch myself going back and thinking about the past. And sometimes I get to thinking, I wish I could go back and change that situation. I wish I could have acted differently. I wish that hadn't turned out the way that it did. I know the Lord's forgiven me, but sometimes I try to reason things within my heart to make me feel better. Well, I know this. If Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for my sins and I've been forgiven, by His mercy and grace, then I don't need to sit there trying to worry about what I can change from the past. I can do different right now. I can say, Lord, here's my life, and I give it to You a living sacrifice. What? Now, God gave you a free will. So you can live life. You can work where you want to work. You can go to college where you want to go to college. You can marry whoever you want to marry. You can have whatever amount of kids you want to have. You can live wherever you want to live. But I'll tell you this, God gave us a free will, but you know what really moves God? When we decide that we want to give up that free will and lay it before the Lord and say, God, I know You've given me a free will, but I want to live by Your will. Where do You want me to work? How? Or where do You want me to go? Things like that. Everything about our life, we should apply it to the Lord and we should give it up to Him. I'll tell you what, God will take your life and it's not going to be rosy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be trials and tribulations so that you can grow, so that you will stay close to God and that your faith will be increased in Him. Now the hope of Christ's return, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Believers, we must eagerly anticipate His coming, and not in a fearful way, but with a joyful hope. I mean, I would love to be standing in a pulpit preaching the Word and hear the trumpet sound and go right out of here. Oh, how wonderful that would be. And a lot of people will ask me, well, why are you so happy? What is it? Why? I was not always this way. I told you what a grumpy gut I used to be, and I didn't like nobody. I didn't want people around me. I hated people. I had my few close friends, and I loved my grandparents and my cousins and stuff, but on the ordinary, if I would have walked in here as the old me and I was just coming to visit here, everybody would have looked at me and said, man, we need to send this dude back out the back door. He's rotten. That's how it was. But when the Lord got a hold of me and when I started reading what He wanted to do in my life and what he could do and how He changed me and my future, what home I had waiting for me up in heaven, I got excited. I know that the Lord walks with me and I know the Lord talks with me and He's guiding me along the way. But I know that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know that the time is coming that when I die, or if the rapture occurs, whatever happens first, I will be with the Lord, and nothing can separate that. I mean, the devil has tried to snatch me out of the Lord's hand, but he can't do it. He doesn't have that power. I am God's child, and I am abiding in the protection of the Almighty. He's the shepherd. I'm His sheep. When He calls my name, I hear His voice, and I respond quickly. I love the fellowship, but I'm joyful. I love to preach. I love to witness to people. I love to go visit in the hospital. I like to go see shut-ins. Like this morning, I walk into Harold Lee's room, and when he saw me, he just lights up. And he said, Bob was here last week and visited with me. But it's just great to see. That makes it worth the while. And I wasn't there just to see Harold Lee. I see other people there. And when I see them, I go up and say, good morning, how are you today? What I'm doing is I'm reaching out. I'm the hands and the arms of Jesus, and I'm the one reaching out, or He's reaching out through me to touch another life. And I love to see the reaction in people's faces. You know what it makes me want to do? Go out and do it again. I don't want to hold the gift that I have inside of me. I want to give it and share it with as many people as I am possibly able to do so. That's why I'm so happy. The Lord is alive inside of my heart. My life has been changed. It will forever be changed, and nothing can take that away from me. We have the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Our confidence should rest on God's promise. God's Word guarantees a full restoration. Did you hear that? God guarantees, He promises full restoration. You can look around this world right now and say, oh wow, what a mess we're in. And yes, we are. But that's not where our hope lies. Your life is not based on what's happening around you, especially in the news. Your life is based on Jesus and His promises. And this old broken world, one day it's going to be gone. So raise a hallelujah to the Lord and praise your Savior, because heartaches will be gone. You'll walk the streets of heaven and you will not see a funeral home. You won't see a doctor's office. You won't see a hospital. You won't see a surgery center. You're not going to see a clinic for people that are severely going through depressions or anxiety. You won't see those things in heaven. God's going to restore us, because the Bible says the old heaven and the old earth, they were consumed in fire. John wrote this while he was on the island of Patmos. These were the things God revealed to him. And he said, behold, I see a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where God's righteousness will reign for all of eternity. Now, that ought to cause somebody to say, praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. You won't be living in your earthly body for all of eternity. That ought to make you happy right there. One day I'll be able to sing in the choir and I'll sound beautiful when I do it. A perfect home awaits believers. No sin, no suffering, no death, just perfect righteousness. So where do you keep your eyes? You keep your eyes on Christ. And you keep your eyes on the eternity that He has promised. The hope in the future. I don't know about you, but I tell you what, I got a lot of family members that don't know Jesus Christ. Last night, we had a memorial service at our son's house for my son's mother-in-law, who passed away last December. And there was a lot of people there. And they had just a quick moment where they were giving anybody a chance to say something about Debbie that they wanted to say. And I heard people say things about Debbie. But it wasn't until her daughter Christy stood up and she said, you know what? Mom loved Jesus. And Mom wanted everybody to know Jesus. And she said Mom had such a love of Jesus inside of her that her family knew it, her friends knew it, and she wanted you to be a part of it. And I thought, wow, well, and Christy had just taken the words out of my mouth. I thought, well, if nobody else shared that, that's what I wanted to share about Debbie. I knew Debbie. I knew her heart. She loved the Lord. And if you didn't know the Lord, and if you were acting improperly, she'd tell you about it. And if she messed up, she made sure that she made herself right. But she always wanted to walk in the love of the Lord and in His power. And you know where she's at right now? She's in heaven. But last night I did get to stand up and I said one thing that I believe Debbie would have wanted all these people to have heard. I said, Debbie would want all of her family to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And I said, if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, I pray that you get saved, because that's the only way you'll get to heaven to see Debbie. And that's how you and I are going to get to heaven, by knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior, believing it in our hearts, confessing it with a mouth, and living for Him daily. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Because the day is coming, Christian people, that the rapture will happen and the trumpet will sound and we'll be taken off of this earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Can you imagine how fast that is, Effie? That's quicker than how I can get from here to the donut shop when I know the red light's on and they've got hot, fresh donuts. I could get there Well, the rapture's going to happen quicker than that. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we're going to be called up. What's God going to say to Jim Cooper? What's He going to say to Jane Evans? What's He going to say to Milton? When we get there, what's He going to say?